Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now, I am not reintroducing the idea of purgatory. But on the other hand, I do believe the baby was thrown out with the bathwater. With that came a belief, when you die, you're instantaneously and magically made perfect.
The soul of someone who dies immediately goes into eternity. There is no place where you make up for your sins. There is no purgatory. In the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Ruh-roh, there's a new trend, and it is a pernicious one. This is Wretched Radio. There is a word that is being bandied about, the semantic range. It is being expanded to the breaking point, and it is being used by YouTube gurus to encourage you to torture people. I'm not kidding. There are a number of videos on the YouTube machine that talk about narcissists. And they define a narcissist as anybody from somebody who is like totally, completely self-obsessed, which I think the word narcissist, when you think about some of those extreme cases where it is nothing but me, and they just no acts of kindness, and they're just consumed with self. Okay, fine. You want to use the term narcissist to describe some perhaps extreme behavior that is manifested for people to see. But I would argue we're all narcissists because narcissism has the root of pride. And is there anybody who doesn't have that? Here's the trend on the YouTuber machine. They use the term narcissist in a very stretched, with a stretched definition to include anybody who kind of focuses on themselves ever. Or anybody who disagrees with you. Or anybody who says, I don't think I want to go to that restaurant. That person is immediately labeled a narcissist. And what then should you do? I'm not kidding. Torture them. I'm looking at my files. Here's 4 ways to torture the narcissist. That's been seen by over 2 million people. 5 ways to torture a narcissist. That person was overproductive. And on these YouTube videos go. And mostly, not exclusively, but mostly, they're being produced to describe men. Yep, there are a couple that talk about women being narcissists. But overall, the arrow seems to be pointed at men. And I suspect this is contributing to the statistic that should shock all of us. I mean, no. I'm not sure that the gender should be the shocking element, but there's something about the statistic that women are actually initiating more divorces than men that should cause us to go, what? Something's up. And I think a part of it, not the totality, but a part of it is the encouragement online to define that person that you said I do with as a narcissist. And then what do you have? You have then permission or license to torture them or leave them, which is what you're about to hear. This is a trend. And this is something that I think is perfectly in alignment with our therapeutic society, the society that encourages you to focus on you, and anybody who disagrees with you is toxic. And it's, I think, helping to drive up the divorce rate. I think it's keeping people from getting married. Why? Because we've expanded the semantic range of what it means to be a narcissist to anybody who does anything that gets up your nose. Well, guess what? You ain't going to be able to be married to anybody who doesn't do something that agitates you in some way, shape, or form, whether intentional or not. This is one woman. She's a guru. These are 7 signs of a narcissist. So we'll get the definition, and I think you'll get the point pretty quickly. It's like, well, she's kind of describing everybody here. And then we'll get about the business of learning how to torture the narcissist.
Now, narcissists are marked by an inflated sense of their own self-importance.
Huh. Jimmy, you ever have a inflated self of self-importance?
Every day.
Huh.
Whether it's overtly or covertly.
Well, okay. That's that. Don't blur those two, because I think in order to be a narcissist, it needs to really be manifesting itself in a way that affects people, because we all have an inflated view of self. That's precisely our problem.
They struggle in genuine relationships because they lack authenticity.
Ah, they lack authenticity.
Yeah, she does lack authenticity. She's a narcissist.
See what they're doing there?
Authenticity is when what's on the inside matches what's on the outside, like the orange tree. And narcissists are kind of like aliens that come to this planet and have to copy the behaviors of others that will get them what they want.
This is all about being self-centered to the point of manipulating everyone to simply achieve one's own personal goals. That's what narcissism has become. That means you have never met an individual, a human being on this planet who isn't a narcissist. This is not carefully defined. This is broadly defined. And it is giving people what they believe is some sort of scientific explanation for that annoying behavior that allows them to have an out. And this goes on and on. Here's the next clip.
The one sign that you need to be on the lookout for when it comes to spotting a Christian narcissist is...
Hold on. A Christian narcissist. Jimmy, you better put up a shield. This one might be aimed at you.
Phoniness. They're fake. You see, like that beautiful bowl of fruit that was sitting on my mother's dining room table, they put on a good front, but there's very little, if no substance, behind that facade.
Go, you got the metrics for this, madam? Because I could tag anybody, including myself, on this. You know, you go to church and you act one way, and then you get in the car, and sometimes you're not as happy. Narcissist! See what they're doing there? Now, by the way, the trend, I think, is so big. Not the biggest trend on the internet, is so big. Now we don't just have narcissist videos. We have Christian narcissist videos.
Number one, fake humility. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less.
Oh, I see what you did.
Philippians 2:3 tells us, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility, count others more.
All right, here's it. Great. Thank you for the Bible verse. Appreciate it. You can't go wrong with that. But when somebody does not adhere to that standard, narcissist, that's just going too far. That's taking attributes or propensities or are just part of our sinful proclivities that are still embedded into our flesh and giving it a diagnostic term of narcissist. Therefore, if you identify any of these trends, you're living with a narcissist. You're living with somebody that you really need to torture. So let's get to four ways to do just that.
Step number one, and probably the most powerful one, this is the basis for everything else I'm going to be able to teach you today, is you must reduce the narcissist's significance in your life.
You must reduce their... Okay. So that means... You don't have the bandwidth or something like that. You don't have the emotional space. You just basically need to chill them out or just cut them off. Just what do you call it when you do that? Wow, this is pathetic. When you block them, you don't allow, you just don't respond to their emails or phone calls anymore. That's how you treat the narcissist.
Do not fake this. Do not act as though they are no longer as significant as they used to be. Make them less significant than they used to be.
I'm just trying to think of the Bible. Now, this guy doesn't claim to be a Christian. The previous woman did. This guy does not. He's just one of the gurus online that is making a heyday with this narcissism business. He's telling you, if you know somebody with any of those propensities, which we all have, that's the deceptive part of this trend. We all act like that. Therefore, you're a narcissist. So you need to get them under control because they're just self-serving in every single regard. And you need to get them out of your life. Name that Bible verse. Name that Bible verse. What is the scripture that says when somebody's difficult to live with, you need to reduce their significance? Can you think of one? I can't. Instead, I can think of dozens and dozens of Bible verses that say the opposite. Now, let's be clear. Can there be relationships that are ultimately so bad for you that you have the proverbial permission to say, you know, that person, it is not healthy for me? And the answer to that is yes. It's more of an exception than a rule, but yes, you can do that. because they're influencing you in a spiritually detrimental kind of way. But that's not what is going on here. Because of the broad definition of narcissism, anybody who bugs you, they're a narcissist. Therefore, dial them back. Get them out of your life. Get them under, lessen their significance. That is the exact opposite of what the Bible says. Esteem others as better than yourself. That we should one another with one another. That we should lift one another up, not chill them out.
If you want to create distress, if you want to create anguish.
You hear what he's saying? You want to create distress? You want to get them? You want to get that narcissist?
Certainty, insecurity, and paranoia. You must reduce their significance. Don't fake it. Because they're smart in terms of detecting other people's emotional states.
They have these narcissists. Yeah, they're really devious. What? Why do you? You're squirming in there.
He says, if you want to torture a narcissist, yeah, you have to become a narcissist. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, the irony is a wee bit palpable. it's a trend, and it's nasty. And it just might be coming to a child near you. Next on Wretched Radio.
Marriage, parenting, mental health, cultural engagement. The challenges facing today's Christians aren't getting any simpler. But at Fortis Institute, we believe God's Word provides the clarity you need. That's why we brought together some of Christianity's most trusted voices under one roof. This isn't just another ministry. It's your daily source for biblical strength and wisdom. All at FortisInstitute.org. Fortis Institute, because standing firm doesn't mean standing alone.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect His flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's at FortisInstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at FortisInstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. For 25 years, we've watched Christianity's place in America change dramatically.
This is Wretched Radio.
But one thing hasn't changed: our commitment to proclaiming God's truth without compromise. A quarter century of preaching the gospel, equipping others to preach the gospel, and strengthening the local church. Together, we've built something extraordinary for the kingdom of God. Visit FortisInstitute.org and join us as we continue this vital work.
Until tomorrow. Go serve your king.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Picture this. Every morning, countless Christians are waking up and wondering how they're going to navigate today's increasingly complex and upside-down world. And that's where Fortis Institute comes in. Not just another ministry, but your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. Will you join us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. And together, we can help Christians stand strong in their faith no matter what challenges tomorrow brings. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel. Remember when we were kids and the adults would say, "Hey, if you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes. It'll change." Now it seems the whole world's forgotten the climate has always been changing. And on Tuesday, April 22nd at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Fortis Institute fellow Dr. Jason Lyle will be joining us for a webinar to explore what's really happening with our climate. Not the panic you see on the news, not the politics, just an honest assessment backed by scientific evidence and biblical truth. Tuesday, April 22nd at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, FortisInstitute.org/webinar.
Important dates in Christian history. 387 AD. Augustine of Hippo is converted. His writings became bedrock for the Middle Ages and were influential in the Reformation. The Confessions and City of God are still read by many.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Mom and Dad, perhaps this explains why you have been ghosted. This is Wretched Radio. It is a nasty trend. I run into parents constantly, good Christian parents, not perfect, but they strive to bring up their children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, and now they never hear from them. They have been ghosted, chilled out, and they have been cut off with any communication from their children. And you're scratching your head and perhaps trying to put your heart back together. What did we do wrong? What did we do wrong? Well, of course, you sinned, but I'll presume that you've repented for those things. In other words, you were just a typical parent. Why did your kids decide to block you? They don't even see my texts anymore. I get straight to voicemail. Could it be because of a single word that is trending on the internet? Narcissism. These are people, I do not know what their degrees are or aren't. It's even Christian YouTubers that are defining anybody who is prideful, can be selfish, doesn't go along with what you want to do on that particular day. That person is immediately labeled a narcissist. And that means you're dealing with somebody who's toxic. And that means you need to ghost them. Jimmy, you went to the AI machine.
I did.
To look for the language that gets used these days
to
justify ghosting somebody. What's mm-hmm. the list the therapeutic language?
So setting boundaries is the first one. Going no contact. Cutting out toxic people, obviously. Breaking generational trauma.
Oh, yeah. Because those parents traumatized me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Protecting my peace.
Sure. Okay.
And my chosen family.
Oh, in other words, not the people. I get rid of those people because I didn't choose them. I'm going to surround myself with people who affirm me. If you're young, please try to grasp this. Please. Your parents, they do not have a parental gear. When God gives two human beings a child, it becomes a part of their DNA. Their number one response to everything that you say, do, or think is safety. Are they going to be okay? Is that a dangerous decision? Is that the wisest decision? They don't need to shift into that gear. That is who they are. And you don't have anybody else like that in your life. Nobody comes close. That's why you can go choose a family and you know what they're going to do? Affirm, affirm, affirm. Oh, yes. I think it's wonderful that you do. Yeah, the Tide Pod Challenge, I'll bet you could be the one to do it best. And you could get a lot of views on the internet. You do the Tide Pod Challenge because I'm your chosen family and I'll never do anything to agitate you. Your parents are going to go, hold on. Do you want to die? What's the matter with you? I know that you weren't born in a barn. Let's put our thinking caps on and let's get this sorted. That's your parent because they care about you more than your unchosen. What is your chosen? Your chosen.
That's right.
I got to get up to speed. Your chosen family. They will not do for you what your parents do. And that is have your best interests in mind. This could explain, Mom and Dad, why you have been ghosted.
What does that mean? It means that even inside of the relationship, you need to let go of being with them. If it's your mother or father, you've got to grieve the fact that you never had and never will have a mother or father. Grieve, cry, go to therapy, feel sad, write poetry, whatever you need to do. And in the end, you won't be attached to them being a good mother or father. You'll have let it go and you'll have reduced their significance. If it's a romantic relationship.
Why, hold on to the romantic relationship. That's nasty business. This guy, talk about reckless. Giving this ridiculous definition of narcissism, a parent who cares, a parent who says, no, honey, I'm not going to let you go out with those kids. I'm not going to let you drive around in a vehicle with six other teenagers at midnight. No, not going to let you spend your money that way. Yes, I'm going to make you get out of bed and make it. That's not being a narcissist. That's being a parent. And this guy, along with many others, is encouraging not just children, but spouses too. You got to get rid of any... If they bug you, they're a narcissist.
Grieve, cry, go to therapy, let it go, drop the idea they're ever going to be a husband, a wife, a father,
wow,
a mother. They're not. Despair, grieve, and let it go. You will reduce their significance.
There you go. That's how you treat somebody that has been deemed narcissistic. This is, I believe, first of all, an explanation why we are seeing the divorce rates with women initiating the divorce. They've been buying this message. And children, they hear this all the time. You heard the dictionary listing from AI, all the different language that's been created. Basically boils down to cut off people who bug you in any way, shape, or form. That can be your parents. I suppose it can be your children. It can be your spouse. This is nasty business. And second of all, it is so unbiblical. We are called to engage in the lives of people who can be, I'll use their lingo, narcissist. They can have narcissistic tendencies. All right, I see that. And I don't desire, as the actual titles of these videos claim, four ways to torture the narcissist, to torture them. The Bible says, no, you don't torture somebody. You come alongside them. You help them. You support them. You point things out. You encourage them. You don't torture somebody. Galatians, for you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. That's the message of the Bible. 1 Peter 4, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the multifaceted grace of God. John 13, if I, the Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. That does not fit at all with this message on narcissism. You're supposed to do the exact opposite according to the YouTube gurus.
Step number two, the second piece of advice I've got for you, the second method for torturing a narcissist would be to challenge their narcissistic idealized self.
Okay. It just says it so glibly. I'm going to teach you. Here's the next step in torturing somebody.
The third tactic I'm going to show you to torture the narcissist is probably the healthiest thing I'm going to suggest today.
All right.
You go to therapy. Huh? Really go to therapy. Don't go to therapy to torture them. Go to therapy to heal. Go to therapy to get better. Go to therapy to get over the relationship with them, to grieve the relationship with them, to let it go. Go to therapy to heal the wounds that caused you to get into that relationship with them and start to live a better life focused on more joy, more passion, more happiness. Do what you want to do.
And that does what? It tortures them.
The fourth method for torturing the narcissist that I suggest you use, if you feel it's safe and you feel it's right to do so, is to mess with their supply in a very, very specific way.
Mess with their supply. Can you name that Bible verse?
Narcissistic supply was identified decades ago as something that the narcissistic personality disordered individual needs. It's not love. It's not friendship. It's not an authentic, reciprocal relationship with
them. Huh. Jimmy, we're going to have to take a Thomas Jefferson-like pair of scissors to our Bibles.
For the human being, they need their own version of love and attention. It's highly narcissistic, and it really is for them like shooting up a drug. It's narcissistic supply.
That is therapeutic lingo 101. And I think it's wrecking a lot of marriages and parental-child relationships. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Colossians 3, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, torture them. I'm sorry, wrong translation. Just as the Lord forgave you, so must you do also. Now, again, the caveat is necessary. Is there ever somebody who is just so detrimental to your spiritual growth that wisdom says, I need to dial it back? Yes, there can be those instances. That is not what is going on here. They're labeling everybody as that sort of extreme behavior by giving them a label of narcissism. so you can ghost them and cut them off and create your own peace or whatever it was that Jimmy just read. If you forgive other people for their offenses, your Heavenly Father also forgives you. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times a day and returns to you 7 times saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Galatians, bear one another's burdens. Fulfill the law of Christ. Encourage one another and build one another up, 1 Thessalonians 5. Let's consider how to encourage one another in love and good deeds, Hebrews 10, 24. Romans 15, 2. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good and to his edification. This narcissistic trend online, nasty business, and entirely anti-biblical. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.